welcome aboard, Ion. Glad you made it.
Hey, y'all.
I have several questions about channeling.
The medium doesn't do much, but get a large and get a universal, and you have to pair it. Once you pair it, it'll turn on all your stuff and or with one hit. You just hit the power button twice, and it'll turn off everything. The surround sound, the Bose, the all the PS4s.
Satellite radio even?
All of it, yes. It'll do it. Well, you want your satellite to stay on because you want that feed to go. But the box, but it'll take the box. In case you got stuff DVRing, you don't really want to turn that off.
Well, thank you. Is there access to then be contacted by myself? Like, at will?
You can leave yourself a voicemail. Literally, you can leave yourself a voicemail, but sometimes you go, that's the stupidest thing. I left myself a voicemail. How in the world would I leave myself a voicemail? First of all, from my number, I call me. I call me from my number, and I left me a voicemail. And here's where it gets trippy, where you get the message before you've given it.
Right, like when my daughter was taking a bath when I was just projecting, like I was in, just in my drawing room drawing, thinking about taking a bath, and Noah came in, and he said, I just talked to you.
Now, look how clever. See how clever that is? Drawing a bath in her drawing room. Isn't that marvelous? She must have a well in her boudoir.
I am the well, yes. I notice body temperature changes when I feel very in spirit or inspired. And I just wondered if that's a common experience.
In spirit. We don't know. Is that as opposed to out of spirit?
No, when I feel inspired, when I'm acknowledging that I'm inspired, I feel anxious to do something with the inspiration, I notice my body temperature will go up. And I notice, too, that I get really cold if that kind of feeling fades or I can find it.
Uh-huh. And you're not complaining about this. You're noting
it,
right?
I'm wondering if it is a common experience with other people. Bob just played us the clip of the channeler.
Ridiculous monster magnet crap. Most ridiculous thing we've ever heard in our whole living life. It's why we came. He knew what it would take to bring us forth.
So when she saw that, was it not a vision then? Was it more like for Bob through her? Is there a way to explain how that worked?
No, there's not a way to explain it. You can ask questions. But
I'm wondering if when Bob had visions in his diary, and he talked about seeing, like, a cement cube or seeing the Egyptians typing, or he assumes they're Egyptians typing. I'm wondering if that's the same kind of paranormal experience that the channeler had when she saw the vision of Wyndham Lewis getting his eyes gouged.
We won't buy it because we say everyone has the capacity to be an all-knowing knows. The all-knowing knows. The nose knows. If he knows, knows. It's like the resident node. And it's N-O-D-E or K-N-O-D-D-E-D. Uh-oh. Get some Rejoice. She'll straighten it out for you. She's the last one that knows how to diagram sentences on this planet anyway besides Bob. Regardless, the thing is the shifts you're talking about, granular, planular. Get the rhyme, planular. Granular, planular, or planular. Esoteric knowing. Esoteric means that you don't know why you know. It's just a flow of know. You can come in and out of those places. Well, if you can come in and out of those places, then you can what you call dial up. We like, if you just said, well, how do you dial up an experience? We'd go with that much more than this glib channeling business that you do with the remote control. Because it's been wired out. They're trying to use it as an excuse that someone has this attained this spectacular gift. It's not about a gift. It's about taking the things that you have, your place of power. If you're God, that's not an issue. So to sort out or single out someone because they have this, how they did this or why they did this or who they did this to, whom was involved in this thing. Then what happens is you find out pretty quick that if everyone has the ability to shift seamlessly through the layers of plane, now this is not interdimensional, but it can
you're
be.
You're saying plane, like land, plane, or like
obtained. We're talking like slipping through what the rain in Maine falls plainly on. You can slip between those layers. Remember, music is perfected not by time, but by the timing and the lines in space.
So then, the Baroque spiral, how do I tie all that together? There's too many.
Well, it's just like this engagement we hear. We've already done this. This is a recording. We've already done this. Already.
Once the ascension process has happened,
it has.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So that's happened. Now we can just kind of, what you're saying, go plane to plane. But are those things always playing out, the experience that these people have? Or
there's no limitation to the worlds and wonders that you wrought. See, you believe that God created everything. You just don't believe you were involved in it.
Yes, that's my struggle.
You know God has all the power and doesn't need any authority. God will let you run all over him. God will let you mean email. God will let you do all kinds of just nasty, ridiculously inappropriate things. And God says, oh, okay, love them all. It's okay. It's not a problem. It'll work out. Now, we suggest you not fuck with Mother Nature, however. But God's really easy about stuff.
That makes me wonder about the Shekinah and wisdom, or Sophia, and I not wonder, but it makes me think about and embrace those kinds of ideas.
That's okay. It's also fun to tickle your hypothalamus to shift your, what you call your temperature.
Okay.
That's fun too. There's nothing wrong with that. Until you start stroking out, if you get yourself 120 degrees, that might not be so fun. Or you get yourself into full, say, the low 70s, that might, you know, slow your aortic function a little bit, but hey, minus the renal failure, you should be all right.
What really made me start questioning this was when Bob played the Evergreen stuff, and it was talking him out, and it was telling him to, or the person, somebody, like a guide, was telling him to readjust his body temperature.
Well, see, Michael Blake Reed, we have no war with at all, because it was from a moment. You've got to go back to that moment. And from that moment, it was appropriate because there were preset limitations, and those limitations were wrought. If you start off with limitations, then there are. Okay? Remember our rules? There's only two rules. One rule is there's no rules. That's the first rule. And the second rule is if you forget that C rule one, well, in that very notion, we've made two damn rules to have no rules. You see? And that's a hard and fast rule that we hold by. So now there's even a standard by which the judges are judged. Having said that, now you have a season, a window, where the world is lost. Even you have Will Robinson is the meme of the day. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Why couldn't he just say, the bad guys are coming. Look out. The aliens are going to come and swoop you off and going to make you smell this flower. And it's going to make you be all creepy and weird. You're going to have to kiss that weird girl and Mr. Smith's going to fuck you up. It's not going to be good. Why couldn't he say that? Instead, the best that a robot could ever get was danger. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Lost in space. That's the best we could do. Well, the Evergreens could basically engage, and they did marvelously, but they could have done so much more. And that was a season, and there were limitations applied. Those limitations were limiting, and they did. Okay? Michael Blake Reed got to the point where it wasn't so much fun because he was forfeiting his very life in order to be engaged.
Okay.
To
okay,
him.
And that, okay. And I think that's what I'm needing to really understand.
Yeah, that's why you're trying to come to the place. It's basically who is zooming whom? Who's zooming who? You see, if you're not having any of the fun, if all you're doing is spending all day long in this orgasmic state, and you're not engaging at yourself, that's kind of like no fun, eh?
Or it's the same as beating yourself with a baseball bat, yeah.
There's always relief when you quit.
So it's okay to kind of like go underwater to come back up, but then there will be a time when I don't have to do that anymore to get that. It will just be there.
Very good. And then once it goes into that cycle, once you take those limitations away and you can effortlessly slide, do you know saran wrap?
Of course.
Okay, do you know how ridiculous saran wrap is? if you let it touch you, have some trance step, and the next thing you know, you're absolutely embedded and mummified in this saran wrap. So much so that now they have something called press and seal. And you literally can take a baggie out of press and seal. And it basically is the same thing. All that's happened is you've shifted and changed the texture. It's the same polymer, but you changed the texture.
Is that because they isolate it into just those little bumps then?
No, it's not the bumps. They gave up that saran wrap doesn't have to be slick. So the roughed up edge changes. It makes it as sticky as saran wrap, but it also gives it room and level to release. The texture on that material allows it to release, and it'll re-stick, and it releases. So just like the same way somebody decided to mess up and make Velcro, there you go. Okay, so now the difference between saran wrap and press and seal. Press and seal, we'd say, is superior, okay? Unless you broke your windshield out of your car and you want to see through it, then maybe saran wrap might be the way to go, but we don't suggest it because it won't hold up very well. However, it is available. But the point is, the energy that created saran wrap was powerful. The energy, the power that created press and seal is, in this case, superior. The only thing that's happened is another creator has embraced it, and it evolved. So is your ascension. So is your knowing. So is your place of being. So you take a root and you land it somewhere, and you get a gain or a benefit from it. Congratulations. We think that's wonderful. But you can also learn how to take a hammer in the head from watching the Three Stooges as well, can't you?
So then it is the writing on the backs of giants. It really is that things have happened in the past that are obsolete now, so it can be proposed as...
But here's our thing. There's not a past. See, there's not a future, there's not a past, there's only the now. You relive it now. Do you realize that we have run this back and forth so many ways now that we are you, even you, we say we, but we'll give it back to you. We're your volley, our serve. You're changing history. You're changing history. You're rewriting history. It was written before the foundations of the earth how things are going to go, and now you are changing. You are taking by rote and changing those predicated outcomes. The Pharaoh used to do it. They'd say, okay, erase them from all time, space. Erase them. Their names on everything. They, you know, at the Anaki and all that, blah, blah, blah. They loved all that jizzy crap, so they did it. And then Pharaoh would get pissed off and say, I'll make it as though you never were here ever, one time ever. And nobody could say their name. Their remembrance was removed. And after a very short window of time, it was as though they never, ever existed at all. They were a nothing. Not even a bad thing. They were a no thing. Because as Pharaoh, as a god, they could do that. Well, you as a god also can rewrite history and change things. You can put yourself, you can be the king of the world and move yourself right out of that kingdom. Remember, we say there is abdication. Only one coronation, but there is abdication. You can leave your throne. Most certainly. It's happened.
Okay.
Worked out pretty good. That way it is.
If one rewrites their history in a favorable way.
Favorable is based on what you know. What you're moving to, you don't know, or you wouldn't go there.
That's true.
Yeah. That's why we say lather, rinse, repeat. We say, put it in your mouth. Swish it around a little bit. If it's nice, swallow it. If it's vile, spit it out. Okay? Lather, rinse, repeat. Try it. Mix it up a little bit. It's okay. If they hate you, they're going to hate you anyway. If they love you, they're going to love you anyway. And we just send you not love us, because then you don't have to sooner or later hate us. You don't have to listen to us. Do whatever you do. You are anyway. All we are is a guy trying to get you, a stranger on the bus, trying to find your way back home. That's all you're trying to do. And if we're assisting in that, wonderful. It should be for fun. You came for it for fun. You can spend the rest of your life beating yourself to death and vicariously, basically killing yourself slowly. And it's like, ooh, what's the point? Be like the beast of your planet. Go at the top of your game if you're going to go. You don't even have to do that. Hang around. It's getting fun now.
You're getting in.
Hey.
Masturbation with these people.
Yeah, Jiggy, yeah. He's saying that the engagement with non-physical sometimes is likened to pleasuring yourself. You get a chance to enjoy yourself. And talking to us sometimes, it brings you into a place where you can understand that there's pleasures or feeling places, erogenous receptors, that once they're turned on, if they feel good, then guess what? They do. So whether that's done with another or sometimes you always have the counterfeit. You always have the counterfeit. See, now Bob will argue this point, and we're going to go with it, but it really isn't the way pornography lays it out, you see. It's not really that way. They have a tremendous amount of screening to make it come out the way it does for them, you see. Control is a wonderful thing, but most engagements don't last for 75 minutes continuously. But even with all those props, you could work that out. But the point is you have the genuine, which is the release all the way to orgasm. But then with the pornography becomes the imitation version of that. And so you have to be careful so that the imitation doesn't trump the real. So you want to make sure if you're engaging in self-pleasuring that the pornography isn't fucking you over rather than you getting off with the porn. So we'd say if you like other human beings, it's more pleasurable sometimes to engage with them. And it's very nice, mostly.
This is Melody Rose. I've been talking to a group of indigenous elders about interacting with Bob and Dr. Carolyn and Jenny and Joy and everybody and with you, because we are sort of in a situation where we're stumped. And I'm going to, if it's okay with you, bring something from the past, like it looks like it's in the past, into the present moment, just for purposes of discussion, if that's okay.
Okay.
There was dozens of us who had worked in the 80s and 90s in the World Peace Movement, basically to bridge the gap between indigenous worlds.
You were trying to get a peace in the world. It wasn't world peace you were seeking, was it?
Well, we thought it was peace at the time. I think we were looking
for... Oh, we agree. We just don't spell it quite the same way.
Gotcha. Well...
The organization, however, enamored, was after a peace of the world. And the gap they were trying to bridge was so that they could own both sides of the riparian rights. They weren't trying to meld things. They were trying to divide and conquer.
I can see that.
Fear
now.
Always builds walls, never bridges. Mm-hmm. Their drive was fear that it would take over the world, that these less mans would outnumber the haves.
The specific thing that I wanted to talk about is that there were a core group of Native American medicine people and elders, all who by the mid-90s were pretty much ready to reascend. Starting in about 1996 or 97, people, including me, started having these weird accidents that were near-death experiences that completely really put an end to their lives for all intents and purposes. I mean, they were alive, but, you know, they either have really poor health or they're in chronic pain or their medical bills took off all the money that they had to take care of their families and things like that. So after, you know, years and years of trying to contribute to the world in a joyful way from their gifts, everybody sort of ended up de-sixing. And so we all started to kind of get back up on our feet in about 2006, 2007 in terms of physical healing. And I know Dr. Carolyn has been helping me with the complement products and the RNA drops.
You're coming into a place where you're getting back into a whole other place. You tried the yucky part. You put it in your mouth and it tasted like an aspic you weren't quite interested in swallowing. So you spit it out, but you'd taken so much of the poison at that point, it took a little bit to get it chewed back. Okay? And mm-hmm. now you're on the road to Wellville, and you get mm-hmm. yourself into another where your body starts to function again, and you start to know that things are different. It reminds you back where you get the fire back in a burning in the belly. Let's see. burning in the belly. Oh, wait, we can't do that. But this is recorded, so it really doesn't make any difference from that old school and new school from a tale of tea. But burning in the belly is about this. It reminds you. It brings you back to that visceral tactility that your body functions, that everything about it can work nice, and it can do nice things for you. And you just want to sing. It makes your heart just want to beam into a new place, even when you sort of foul up a little bit and the dishes haven't been washed and the clothes haven't been ironed and the floor needs vacuuming and all the other blah, blah, blah that goes along with that. It just makes you want to be at bliss. That's the place that you're describing or trying to describe, that even in that particular place, it's still the most delicious thing you've ever engaged on this planet heretofore so far. Now, let's take it to another world, because we're getting good here. Let's start looking at some of these granular, dimensional arenas.
Mm-hmm.
Be very precise how we lead you here, because we're leading the witness here. You get that, don't you? Because, see, what ends up happening is you're going to find we already answered your question that you're trying desperately to ask. But yet we've already answered it. Then you're going to ask, and we're going to say, ask and answered. And you're going to go, Kylan, come on, go down. WTF, OMG, what's the BFD? We can't go, we can't roll like this. How is this a meaningful thing when I can't even answer my question and you're answering it already? And you're getting it, taking it all apart and changing my words around all over the place to get me where I knew I had to get because I got there, because I knew I was going to get there when I got here the first time that I got here. That I knew on this call that sound physical was going to show up to talk to me already anyway. Come on. You couldn't sell that. So, if you want to take your body to that next tier, the next little step, what you got to do is you got to not hold on to. Everybody says, when you get to the end of your rope, to tie a knot and hang on. We say, why? There's no reason to. Typically, when you're at the end of your rope, turn loose because you're only 6 inches off the ground. Otherwise, you've tied a knot and you're hanging there by your hair, your chinny chin chin, and very much not happy about it.
What actually happened to us all in the 90s? Because we were actually having fun. We were doing great work. We were really enjoying all the dimensions and everything. And then it was like all of a sudden, every single one of us got hit by a 2x4. I mean, it was crazy.
You said it can't be any better than this. It could never get any better than this. So it couldn't. When you got acknowledged that it was really starting to work, you were starting, we made a difference, we saved a tree, or we fed an asshole, or we did something wonderful. That's wonderful, but it can't hold up. Because basically you can't make someone more powerful by forfeiting yours. You can't get sicker so the world will be weller. And what happened is your movement started coming to the place that you had to deny yourself of all your goodness so other people, so you could have it as bad as they, then you're ultimately helping them the most you can help them. And instead, what you found out is that no matter how sick you got, they didn't get any weller.
Oh, my God, you are so right.
Let's go with Jesus. Jesus said the poor would always be with you. So don't get tore up about the poor. They're always going to be with you. It's all right. It's all right. Move on, but you can't help the poor by getting poor. Bob's moved up the ring again. He used to be only for the 1%. He's moved it up again. Oh, you ain't going to believe this one. Now he's only representing the 0.1%. It's terrible. We're sorry. Many will fall, but, you know, he just can't take it anymore. 1%'s not going to get it. 0.1%.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully set up a little demagogue somewhere to help other folks.
Are the RNA drops something that I could share with other people that were in the same situation as me, where we just overgave to the poor until we almost killed ourselves to be good? Is that something that would really help them shift?
It could, but it's not your job. If you want to, tear it up, honey, and sleep with them. Every last one of them, too. A good sympathy roll in the hay might help them, too. Okay, it could help them, but that's not your job. If you do it because you want to do it. If you sleep with them, get it because you want to have an orgasm, not to please and delight them. As long as it's pleasing and delighting you, we say, tear it up. Yes, 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 yes. But don't do it for the wrong reason, because then all of a sudden you'll just make a movement where we have people giving up their life's work to buy drops to give to help the poor, Lord, suffering cats. We've ascended them, and they're living forever, and they're miserable forever.
No, ridiculous. I mean, I don't want to be miserable, man, anymore. That was the whole point.
Live a good life. That's all you need to do. You live a good life. Get fat, get happy, get yourself where you are just supple in every way. Let your body come into its place of power and shine. Let them beg to lick the bottom of your feet. Most of them aren't worthy of your spit, let alone your energy that you graciously share. So we say, live a good life. That's how you saw that. You want clever, witty ways to put you in the bed. Vicinity, we've helped many. We do caution you, however, don't ever make it be about the money checks. Because if you make it be about the money checks, guess what? It may not be enough money. But if it's not about the money, guess what? You can have all the money you want, but it ain't about the money. You don't want a lover when you got one, do you?
Nope.
There you go. There's quite a bit of embeds in there. There's quite a bit of embeds. We've given you a lot of information now. You got to go back to the future. Go back to the future and sift this out. Then you're going to kind of go, wait a second, this is recorded. How is this work? This is the craziest thing ever, ever, ever. But we don't care, because once the information is, then guess what happens? It becomes, and all non-physical's done is helped the appropriate God with the task at hand. You don't get mad at Google if it gives you the answers to the question you asked. You just ask another question.
Ion, where does the question come from?
A lack of knowing.
But Ion, you've also said that if you didn't know, you couldn't ask the question.
That's exactly right. But you in your less than state have to always corporeally, you must vindicate, validate, vicissitate all the platitudes to decide if they're indeed vicissitudes. You can't go with a paradigm. You must shift it. You must question it. You must make the perfect thing and then destroy it to see if it's destroyable. That's why you like gold, because gold, you can't destroy it. The more you burn it, the purer it gets. You melt it into something else, but it's still gold. You can't contaminate it. You can make it radioactive, but it's still gold. It comes back with the same properties. You can't get rid of it. You can't make it go away. You shoot up into space, it falls back down sooner or later. So the reason you ask the questions or you create is then you then challenge it. That's like science. Science's only job is to disprove reality.
Hey, Ion, I think I've been living life less than, you know, I could be. And I know this is a question you get a lot, and it's probably annoying, and I don't mean for it to be superficial. It's just my limitation of vocabulary. One could say it's livelihood, job, source of income, creation. I'm trying to merge it with other sources of power, just power.
Find something that makes your heart sing. Find something that makes your...
All my parallel selves that you could ever come witness, I want to know a good example of a parallel self of mine that really was successful.
One that draws
talents or knowledge that I have within me that I'm not able to use, and then actually take advantage of that and get rewarded for doing that. Something I'm capable of doing.
One that draws.
I'm not. Say again.
One that draws. You said which parallel world self is one that was successful and sated in its life, and we answered the one that draws.
One of my parallel selves was an artist.
One that draws.
Well, I did draw when I was a child, but I lost that as I got older. I'm not really talented.
Then go back and find it.
Do you think that could help in this plane?
We don't think.
Yeah, I know. As I was saying, I'm limiting my vocabulary, but could that say be as to know? It's possible.
No, yes. Hold on. Slow down. Just a second. You've worked yourself into a ladder. We've already answered your question. You were going 100 miles an hour. You couldn't even get what we were trying to say. We don't need all your vocabulary.
It's shocking.
Your vocabulary. Yeah. Your vocabulary is fine. Stop arguing from this position. Stop arguing. Get happy. Find something you like to do and be there.
Ask her. Listen to Ion. All you have to do is say a couple of words and let him speak. You're over-talking, so that's why you're not getting any messages from anything or anybody.
Because once you get to that place where you could actually, we could say, yes, that's the thing, do that. You've already jumped into a way that, that other people are supposed to respond to the help that you're supposed to provide that you don't even know what that help is. So, a needle pulling thread. You don't baste backwards. You based toward the end of the theme. And you may come back with it, that's okay, but you based forward. You see?
It is very
you don't take,
keep going, I keep answering. I just muted them for a minute.
Now, God, they're helping you now. They've turned you off, so you have no choice but to listen. Now, you're still talking, we understand, and that's great because you don't really know you've been muted yet, but that's okay. You'll be forced to come back to this recording message that will be recorded for your future for the now. So just leave him on mute for a second. It'll be good. It won't take us just a second. You found yourself one time in a way you could develop and line yourself in a position where you could draw linearly, where you could make the paper have a different dimensional plane. We're not saying you have to draw. You ask the question ridiculously, which one of yourselves was ever successful and happy? And we answered very clearly and easily, the one that draws. That's not the answer that your question that you're asking. You're asking is, how do you get happy in yourself here? But you didn't ask that. You said, which one of you was? And we told you. Now, that sends you into this long, towering spiral. Oh, I lost it when I was a child. You didn't lose anything. You separated yourself from it. You forfeited it. Then you couldn't find it anymore because you hid it from yourself. So we say you can find it for yourself if you have to go back to then to now to relive from then to now. And the space from then to now can change everything. You see. But if you need a little handful of money, there's plenty of money now. That's not the problem. It's very cheap. Buy a certificate. They don't pay you much. The value of it isn't very much. A sack full of money is pretty easy to come by. You have marvelous creators. Money is debt. No one quite figured that out yet. So you figured out now the only way that everybody can get rich is for your country to owe hundreds of trillions of dollars, and you ridiculous little humans, you don't even know what $1 trillion is, let alone how to pay it back. Because that's money. So everybody wants money. So now money is so cheap, you're drowning in it. Because money is debt. Therefore, you want some monies or to be happy, okay, or be successful or be well-known. Bob will say, don't do it. It'll end in tears. Get over yourself and get on with it and find some way to please and delight yourself and forget worrying about everybody else and get right with it, and you'll be okay. But if you want to go down the primrose path of destruction, draw. Find yourself a way to please and delight yourself. We didn't say do it for money. We said draw. If you draw, then they'll figure that out. Figure out something that you love doing, that you really like to do, and you'll never work another day in your life. And if you're equating your actions with money to flow freely to you, Godship may not be the best path for you, you see. Ruling a kingdom is not something that you take a time clock and clock in for. You come into your place of power and you ascend, and you come into a place where you can know you are God. You decide what it is and is not in your world. Queen Victoria, we just adore Queen Victoria. She ran her kingdom with an iron fist. Something would come along that she didn't know, didn't care, didn't like, blah, blah, blah. She'd rise up and she would say, not in my world. The sun never set on her empire, however. We wish the same were true for you all.
You have a response, Kiki?
It's a lot to absorb.
Well, just listen to yourself. When you listen to yourself,
really
again,
it'll
be easy.
I was drawing as a teenager, and then I stopped drawing because I associated art with superfluous things, so I put it away, and I just don't have the skills I used to, although I wonder what it does to my brain. Maybe it's just a creative act that I lost touch with, and I should probably.
Is it not amazing to you that you actually achieve orgasm?
I have a good sex life, but that, I really don't think much about it, do I?
If you would do the same with your life, it would be as easy.
So treat drawing like sex and just do it and just kind of get
orgasmic. Absolutely. God bless your little heart. That's exactly right. Tear
it up. Finally got it.
Tear it up and then guess what happens. You don't give a fuck what the world thinks. You're so happy and busy pleasing and delighting yourself, you didn't notice what the whole wide world thought.
Well, I'm just saying in my happiness, I hope it doesn't ruin to self-ruin. Someone could be happy while they're accidentally kill themselves, you know, like some drug addict on some
drug. Try it. That's better than wallowing in that ridiculous, miserable place that you are right now. Offering yourself is a lot worse things than dying.
I'm one of the best yet, you know, who just has some heroin overdose. You know, I want to be more than just Andy Warhol's
friend.
Try it. Live the life of
Try
life.
It. You sit on those preaching to us. You got
right.
You. Don't you come preaching to us.
Scary, though, hanging out with pretentious, narcissistic art assholes. I could lose myself. I thought I was going to be a writer or some shit, and someone tells me drawing, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm afraid of that part of my being. I'm so dark and scary and undefined.
Nice. But at least that stand. Good, good. Write about those horrible people. Make a whole new movement. Make your whole art be about how the ridiculous art world is ridiculous. How you're going to make un-art. You're going to de-art. You're going to have a de-art gallery. A de-art gallery. That's more fun than where you are now.
Ion, can you make a suggestion of what type of medium Keith might like to draw with? Because I have everything.
Blood.
Right,
blood.
Commonly, people will get oil pastels and be blown away because they.
You guys are arguing about it too much. You're talking, thinking. Tell them to give up drawing and get a fucking job. Then you can start having normal money. Then you'll understand what money is. I told you that 3 weeks ago, and you fucking keep stopping him. Kick him out. Get him and have a job.
Kick him out. I kick him out every day, Bob.
Right. And you tell him not to come back till he's got some kind of McDonald's job or something.
The problem's not him. I got to make him stay out.
Yep. You got all kinds of problems.
One of the things I really enjoy doing is vision journeying.
And you're good at it.
I'm good at it, and I love doing it, which is why I continue to do it. But I have had a couple incidents where I've sensed you in my journeys. Is that me talking to me, or is it you?
There's no difference, darling. Here's how you can tell. Do you know silver spoons? A good silversmith will chase silverware out of silver. And either coin silver or sterling silver. Sterling silver is pretty easy. You can find them almost anywhere. People still eat with them. You all are still eating, aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, don't use it for tomatoes. It'll hit the silver.
So you're literally talking about silver spoons.
We most absolutely are, yes. And we like something by wallet. That would be Francis the First, Grand Baroque, Old Colonnade, Rose, Tea Rose, any of those in that line, it'd be good. And find just one. You don't have to buy $1 million worth. Just one. One teaspoon made by Wallace Silversmith. Doesn't have to be antique. It can be brand spanking new. Doesn't have to be new. It can be old. Doesn't have to be used. Makes no difference. You find one silver spoon. When you're on these little journeys, get that silver spoon. And if you're wondering if it's us or if you're wondering if it's a version of you, all you do is just look at that silver spoon. And if that silver spoon is wavy when you move it, when it's wavy when you move it, that's us. When you move it and it's not wavy, that's another version of you. You get another kind of silver spoon if you want to play it. You downward. Now we've quit preaching now. We've gone to politicking now. Get another brand of silver wallet, say Reed and Barton or something ridiculous and inappropriate in any way. It won't work at all. It'll never wavy. Pretty fun, eh?
Only that kind of silver spoon. Okay.
You're very specific in your work. You're very precise in what it takes for you to be convinced. We could have done it with a plastic spoon, but you wouldn't have that, you see. And then we could have done it with just an ordinary silver spoon, and you wouldn't have that either. But we made it so type specific that there's no way that it's any confusion whether or not for sure you can know beyond an absolute shadow of a living doubt exactly where you take yourself when you go in your vision journey trips, you see.
Okay.
So we made it ethereal. Because that's what you're talking about, how to make an ethereal application real. You're trying to say, this is real to me, but how do I know it's real? How do I make it realer? And so now, for the first time, you're going to have something physical on this plane that you'll use to slip into others. Do not lose your spoon, okay?
I will not lose my spoon.
Stay with your spoon because it's going to help you as a guide. And now, we don't make anything ever be about objects or anything like that, but we are going to hear in this particular place because in the vision realms that you're talking about, you cannot tell the difference. There is no difference between live and Memorex. This is a recorded right now. There is no difference between live and Memorex. You cannot tell the difference. There is no difference. But the spoon will help give you is basically a guide or something to clip to. It's a clip-on.
I'll go get my specific spoon.
Francis the First is pretty yummy, but Grand Baroque's all right, whichever you prefer. In 10,000 million millennia, you never dreamed that would be your outcome, did you, honey?
No, but you know what? It's the best outcome I could have expected because I'm only trying to convince myself of something I already know. So why not a silver spoon?
Why not make it be a specific, particular kind? And see, we
absolutely. Yeah, why not that?
What great fun.
Hey, Nancy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to have to call you because Ian and I have a silverware connection, so we'll talk about it later, but I would love to talk to you more about the silver spoon.
Ian, you make me laugh my ass off, and that's why I have such a good hearty laugh, because all this stuff is hilarious.
It's so funny because you know deep down it's real. You know,
absolutely. That's why I'm still listening to it. I knew from the first time I heard your crazy ass talking that it was real.
We turned around and said, you can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. I try to explain you to somebody else, and it's like, you either listen and get it or you don't.
It's like, you know, come on. If you got to have something to bounce off of, then you're just bouncing. So, at the end of the day, what's all this here? What's all this about? What is this about? It's about you coming into your own place of power. Anything we
absolutely.
Do, that's what we want to do. We don't want to hurt anybody. We can't. You're God. You just don't know it sometimes. But at the same time, you chose to come forth, and you can choose to leave if you want to. So now we've adopted it. Get happy or get out. It's much easier.
I'm all about getting happy, and if they don't want to join me, they can just get the fuck out.
Marie Antoinette got it right. Let them eat cake.
I have less and less contrast as the time goes on, but I always look at contrast as not necessarily something bad. It's just adjusting my rudder and where I want to go.
Contrast could be the tension in a wheel as you're steering a car. That's good.
Yeah.
That contrast is what keeps you in the road. The yaw of the tires is what keeps you from careening off the embankment.
Well, and when you ask for something, you don't know how that's necessarily going to show up. I've been asking to have the time to really go through the Revelation series. I just got laid off from work. I guess I got my time.
Now you can go through it. Now, once you get to your angel diagram, go into the rewrite side, and it can replace your monies. If you wanted money, you didn't ask for any money, but if you want some money, that'll do it.
Thanks.
Can we talk about the Passover for a minute and this upcoming blood moon?
Of course.
Where would you like to start?
You got to go to Exodus 20 first, don't you?
Okay, Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God.
Whoa. Hold on. That's significant right there. You speak the words. you're talking about Passover, and you were going to take us some different places, and we'll go there. We can do us some Genesee, honey. The Book of Moses, we own this like a bad habit. It's all right, because that's when you were close to God. And these words make a lot of sense, because it reminds you back close when you were God. So you're going to find this revelation, this beginning place, all the way to Genesis, in the books of Moses, Kings and Chronicles, Ezekiel. You're going to find those first of the first five, Deuteronomy, and the generations. When you actually get to the reset, you're going to find these words are much more relative or applicable now, maybe, than they were even then. So people talk about the Old Testament, oh, that's old school. Jesus did this and Jesus undid that. He didn't come to change the law. He didn't change the law. Y'all just didn't get the law right in the first place. Now, we've already done the Ten Commandments. We're not going to do those again. Bob will shut us down. He can't stand this redoing stuff. It's just more than he can do. But what happens here, the words that were spoken become the platform. All right, now, what we're getting to is a reset. The reset that you're trying to achieve, you begin in Exodus 20. Now, we've already done the Ten Commandments and straightened them out. Bob has all that. Banter him a little bit. He'll make you happier than you can stand, okay? But you might go on down to verse 19.
Exodus 20, verse 19. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die.
There you are. We've just redone the Ten Commandments. And no one ever picked this up. No one ever hit this. Go back. Now do 18.
And the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off.
Now go to 20. What did Moses say?
Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not.
So you cannot sin if you're God. But you've got to know that, or you will be found tunkalopizen. And so that's the twist.
It's all about the know. K-N-O-W.
And then 22 is how we come into the picture. It's always a 20-22, you know, Bob. It's ridiculous.
And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven.
And that's the see, the sightedness. To hear our words does not make a difference, but it does. To see us, you do not. If you listen to Bob, he'll tell you quick that we have spoken from heaven.
Which is here.
Be delighted and amazed to bring you back to your place of power, and we care not how. You want to go on the Emmaus Road? We can drag this out forever. You want to go on the Damascus Road? You might go blind, but we'll get you there.
So the blood moon that's coming up on April 15th is the first of four blood moons that will be occurring over the next 2 years, and it happens to be occurring on the evening of Passover, which is the Jewish celebration of the passing over of the death angel.
It's allowing Elijah's spirit to come into your house. It's not Passover land. It's to allow Elisha in.
Allow Elisha in.
And all perverts.
What's the story with Elijah?
He was one of the prophets, but I don't know the part about letting Elijah's spirit in, Ion.
From the cut. You had to have a cut. You had to leave the door ajar so Elijah can join.
Oh, that's right.
This is y'all's bullshit, not ours. At least get
yeah.
it. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, we've
but that's what it's
well,
about. You forgot, but that's what it's about. That the spirit can come back from then to now. That the Passover can be. That the blood of the Lamb that was spread over the doorpost to remind you that there are 144,000 RNA'd laced chromosomal bumps that affect the quality of life of your firstborn is in jeopardy. It's to remind you once again that once you come from Pharaoh's grasp that you put yourself into, that it comes up with a responsibility that you have to be God. That there's no Yahweh if you don't come into place to receive it. That if you don't find your way somehow to get back to the Passover, to get back to the Lamb, to the blood of the Lamb that applies it to your own beingness, and finds you somehow to remind you it's amazing that you don't eat anything unleavened, and that you have to have something that is clean, and that brings you into some level that you might qualify for a shewbread, that because of who you are, you might be God and be saved from the very less thanness that you created. Interesting, isn't it?
You picked up something when about the crack of a door being open with reference to Elijah. I don't really know the background story to that.
Okay. The whole point is that there's a transmuted spirit. Transmutation of spirit can affect your outcomes. You can slip in and out. Everybody talks about walk-ins and watchers, and we can go through it, just harem, scarem, pit and pat, lit and led all over the place, saying all this stuff, but no one ever asked the best example of how it all works. Elisha is can become a walk-in. And in your cup, the cup evaporates or empties during the Passover celebration, the Seder. Elisha comes and drinks your manna shebet, smoking David's blackberry wine, kosher for Passover. Present and drinks your wine if you have miracles at your Passover. Otherwise, you just have to eat yucky arrow sense.
What?
And potato kugel. Have you ever had potato kugel that was actually good? Is there a good kugel? No. It's ridiculous. We're back to where we were. Exodus 19, verse 1.
In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai.
You need manna. That's the first time you had manna was in the desert. So y'all want some manna? Bless God, we're going to take it there. It's the least we can do. Show enough. Which month is this?
What is this manna?
Shewbread.
Shewbread.
Exodus 19, verse 4.
Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself.
Now, go one more.
Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for the earth is mine.
Now, this is not commandment. It said a covenant. It did not say commandment. The covenant is the Passover. The Passover is a covenant. See, the plagues where they used Pharaoh as a taskmaster, that now the Hebrew children asked to be enslaved, you asked to fall, you asked to be in Pharaoh's house. So you can't really fault Pharaoh. However, it took this, the plagues, to overcome what Pharaoh as a god had prompted. So now, the Passover is the final or the quintessential knocking the head of my God's dicks bigger than your God's dicks scenario. What this story is for and about, what it lays out for you here, is the exact position that allows you to come back into your place of power. The blood moon is an added secular alignment in the time-space continuum. We've spoken about it being pretty significant, and it is. We've talked about the earth shaking, and we've said all the crap that's going on now. The planes are going to just go through the atmosphere. They're going to take off, and they just won't land. And everybody just laughed. They thought that was the funniest thing. Oh, Lord, and poor Ben Beck's about to blow his brains out. He can't stand it now. Because we already said way, way back this was going to be. Now it is. Now you don't even think about it as a big deal. You don't even think about Michael Jackson dying a pauper and now being very, 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 very tremendously wealthy. Now this brings you up to the Passover. What the Passover is for is they take the lamb's blood. They give the first lamb, the perfect lamb, the best lamb they got, and they sacrifice that lamb. and you don't eat leavening. Oh, no candida. No candida, Carolyn. The candida's out. We're going to have unleavened things. It's going to be amazing. Can't eat nothing leavened. And it's to prove the point of your coming back to God. All right, now they smear the blood over the door. What that's supposed to symbolize. Now, you can go through the whole Seder of why you eat the bitter and the sweet, why you have the egg, why you eat the bitter herbs that bring you back so you can taste the sweet. Those are balances that are important from the whole process. And if you look at the actual amino acid and content in a perfect Seder, you'll be very surprised. You can't live on this all the time, you see. You need a varietal position. But for this particular experiment, it's very key because it's a symbol. It's to show you something. It's to tell you something. And historically, you've been doing this every year, so you'll be remembered the same way Christians put the cross around their neck to remind them that there's a chromosome with arms. You hid this in your past. You just now found the Holy Grail. We think that's hysterical, but it's wonderful because you rewrote history and made this big old goopy gobbly thing for a grail. And we're going to empower it. Just watch. You'll see. It's going to be great fun. We can't remember when we've had so much fun. It's delightful. But you'll see. Now what happens is you've got all this laid up where it's going to be rocking and reeling and raging. Now you've got a blood moon which lines things up. Now you've got a Passover that's coming. Now that's when you bop, 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 bop. Passover is when you get those delicious macaroons.
Yeah.
That's why you like Passover, because you get to eat the macaroons made with the egg whites.
Yeah.
And they've got little almonds in them, so that makes them healthy, like nut pate. It's really egg whites and sugar, lots of sugar, and coconut. Mmm. Just send the taxi man. He'll go get them. It's all right.
Yeah. Eric, go get it. Well, send Eric.
Uh-huh.
Send the taxi man.
Okay, so now we're back to the Passover and the blood moon and the significance thereof and the Elisha cup and where the wine goes and how this applies and why you had to have matzo ball soup. Oh, wait, no. Chicken soup. Look in matzo ball soup. See the basic recipe of chicken soup. And when you run the exegesis on chicken soup, you're going to find some things that are interesting. It has to do with how the lipids are driven in the sopa de pollo. Then you have to look at the basic menu that people have honored, time-honored traditions honor for a Passover meal with the Seder plate. Look how the plate's laid out. Look how the different things are put in different sections and how that goes. Everything is type-specific. Now, then what happens is you start to see what this actually is.
So, Ion, I just want to make sure I'm understanding that when you lay out the plate and you put everything in its order, and you look at the amino acid content, that there's a cipher there.
There is. Look at each element that it is and how it applies. But don't just take the Seder plate, the way you eat the herb and the egg and the bones and the bullshit, that kind of stuff. But you also do the matzo ball soup. You also do the different elements that you also, the stewed chicken, pulled chicken. Look at the different things that are in that typical menu. And put it all together, and that'll help you. Even down to the wine is beneficial as well, the kosher wine.
Okay, very good.
Okay, are y'all ready to go to the cloud? Let's do number 9.
And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord.
If you took that for true, you're now fixing to come into the stage. Y'all think we was playing when we said Revelation was first. It is where it started. You're coming into the beginning. It's the end of the beginning. You've now created the cloud where you can talk to each other in the cloud, a thick cloud. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. Moses was separating himself when he got all this information. Did anybody know who he was?
He was up on the mountain, right?
Mount Sinai, that's right.
And what's important about that?
Geography.
33rd parallel?
Didn't say, but geography.
I'm looking at the geography, Bob, to look at the parallel. It's on the 28 and 33. No, it's on the 33rd parallel.
Oh,
imagine that.
But you said you didn't say Ion, so is it the 33rd parallel?
It is the 33rd. We did say, but we did say imagine that. Yes, good.
I see.
And we can't get too verbose, then y'all turn around and undo it. You'll uncreate all creation and cancel Passover just so we can't have ascension. And then the poor people have to wait another 100,000 years to have a little piece of shoe bread. And it goes on and on.
So Moses is on the 33rd parallel on Mount Sinai when he's talking with God in the cloud.
Yep.
Roxana from Berlin says, Ion, Damascus Road to Ascension. Is there any way to accelerate the process?
Faster than Damascus Road? Hey, Jenny Bell, would you like to describe the Damascus Road and how quick that is?
Yeah, I don't recommend it. Pretty quick.
He's asking for one faster than the Damascus Road.
Yeah.
She's thinking neutrino. It's already happened, Roxana. That's how you'd take that idea.
Well, except if the lightning flashes and you go blind in the process, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You have to separate yourself from sightedness.
Bob, you brought up the neutrino.
Yes.
Back in the day, we talked about the value of the neutrino was at 42%, and then after the blood moon, it was going to be 33%. That was the blood moon of 2012.
December 21st, 2010 was the big one. It hadn't been around for thousands of years. And then the Arab Spring started on January 25th, 2011. Then we had a rewrite all year long. If there was a blood moon after that, I don't know about it.
Well, it came up in one of the rewrites where we talked about the change of the neutrino value.
Okay.
Now, after this coming blood moon later this month, what will the neutrino value be? Will the neutrino value change, Ion, after the blood moon later this month?
And it's found in Exodus 12, verse 13.
And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Now, here you go. Now, what the Passover, if you take the present value of the neutrino, and you now have a new neutrino value, do you not, Joyce?
Yes.
By this verse, you would divide the larger number into the smaller number, would you not?
Yes.
And your answer is?
I don't have my calculator.
Well, that's the answer to your question. It will increase by that percentage exactly.
Okay.
What do you mean by the value of the neutrino? Do you mean the amount of the neutrinos, the volume of them?
Okay, Ion, you can take over.
Oh, no. We're not about.
Passing the ball to you,
We're bound. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away heaven out of your houses. And whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. 15, if anybody's interested.
Joyce, perhaps you can help me jog my memory about that, because I'm totally foggy on that.
Okay, we're talking about the neutrino value of light waves at the cellular level. Now, neutrinos, you know, at least from the research that I've been doing, are extremely important and somewhat of still a mystery in science. It's all not really clear. So the it ties also to the reduction of light and the increase of saltiness.
Right.
Okay, so recall how we're made up of salt and light. And I might just be pulling at a thread here, but that could possibly affect our cellular makeup.
So, but specifically when I'm wondering about the value of the neutrino, because from what we know, I mean, the neutrinos are the most abundant particles that are around us, and
right.
they emanate from the sun, is that right? So it is a light
they
wave.
Do, yeah, they emanate from the sun, and I believe from cosmic rays also, which, you know, that's all
right.
somewhat connected to the sun. They can change their identity as they go over a distance, and there are three types. So that's kind of just the basis for anybody who hasn't done
right.
a little
I'm
bit
just,
of research on it.
But yeah,
the neutrinos are required to make atoms,
okay.
and they're required, any atom that's greater than hydrogen that's not just hydrogen. They're required for carbon and oxygen, for water, for the earth, and obviously for us.
It also makes lilies.
Uh-oh, he said the L word.
Uh-oh, other L word. He said
yeah, the L word
earlier.
Yeah, I know. Brian is the L
yeah,
word.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering specifically when you're talking about the value, I'm trying to understand what's meant by the value of the neutrino increases.
Well, they don't have a mass.
Not that we know of, because it can't be measured yet,
mm-hmm.
if at all.
Let's ask Ion, is the valuation that we've referred to the amount of neutrino that are in our physical bodies?
It's a percentage of neutrino. It's not the amount of neutrino. It's a particle, like so many parts per million. It's a measurement. It's not a valuation. It's a measurement. Your neutrino is of rice, yes?
Okay.
And you want to know if the value is going to change from the blood moon? And the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to increase
mm-hmm.
by the amount of the old to the new divided by itself. That percentage increase is the amount it will increase. Now, the effect it'll have on the blood moon, none. The effect it'll have on how bread will be not leavened, everything.
If we decreased it back in 2010, are you saying we're increasing it in 2014? That's what it sounds like.
No. We take the what it was divided by what it is now. That new value is the amount of change. That would be
okay,
increase.
So it was 42, it's 34 now, supposedly, so that's like a 8%, 8.9% change. Is that what you're
yes,
saying?
That is correct. That is correct.
And is the change and shift going on because of the extra
yes,
hydrogens?
Blood moon.
Related to the extra hydrogens.
Well, see, Rejoice didn't know it, but she actually gave it away when she says that atoms are made up of, makes up atoms, but not hydrogen. So it's the increase.
Yeah.
It's Bob's purple. It's Bob's purple that's actually tipping the tides. And some Aikido. We just love it, some Aikido. He's soaking that stuff up like it's good.
But it doesn't have anything to do with any extra activity on the sun?
No. The sun was sacrificed, honey.
Did he say that neutrino is a measurement term?
Yes.
Whereas electron is not a measurement term, Ion?
No, it's a gauge.
And a neutrino is what? A non-gauge? Another kind of measuring?
It would be like a quark counter.
A quark counter.
Are we all clear on the blood moon? How to do Passover, and we gave you the scripture where it was. You can ferret out exactly what's in the menu. There's very specific ways even to prepare it where you burn everything up that's left so that there's nothing left.
Where's that information at? Where's the div the menu?
Jenny Bales?
You can Google it, Wikipedia.
Well, we were just doing it.
Yeah, I'm gonna read it to you, Brian. Chapter 12, verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel.
That's Dr. Dean's candida cleanse.
That's a yeast cleanse. Yeah. 16, and in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. The 17, and you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 19, 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leaven, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. 20, you shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. 21, then Moses called for the elders, for all the elders of Israel, and said unto them, draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. 23, for the Lord shall pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. 24, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. 25, and it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. 26, and it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? 27, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head in worship. 28, and the children of Israel went away, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. 29, it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. 31, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, rise up, this is the Pharaoh, rise up, Moses, and get ye forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. 32, also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. 33, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. 34, and the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. See, they took the shewbread making stuff. That was the most important thing. 35, and the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed the Egyptians jewels of silver and ripped them off, jewels of gold and raiment, and burnt down the houses and spit on them.
As long as, wait a minute, you missed the part where it was FDA approved. If you get what we're laying, what's being made out here, this particular element was what they say is then to remind you for now, forever and ever and ever. But you're just now, for the very first time, coming into this now, from then.
This is Putin. Putin makes his move.
Basically.
He no longer a put on, he becomes a put in. He's going to put out or put up or shut up.
And Miss Merkel is very cross.
Yeah, the Nazis do not like being in second place. Or the Fourth Reich, let's call them the Fourth Reich, IG Farben Combine. That's what it is.
Oh, Lord, now we are going to go the Coker Quadrant.
No, this is the LaRouche Quadrant with a little bit of May Brussels on the side.
China with a beer back of May Brussels. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 36, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. That means they beat them up or something, or they ruined them?
Spoiled, they ruined them. They gave them everything.
37, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. 38, and the mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds and even very much cattle.
Now, that's the ones that had miscegenation in their lineage.
39, and they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. 40, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. 41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. 42, it is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. 43, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. 44, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. 45, a foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. 46, in one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught or any of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. 47, all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. 49, one law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. 50, thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. 51, and it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies.
Dun, dun, dun.
And that reference was talking about if you had someone in your home, a nanny or a butler, and you adopted them into your faith, or they wanted to be in your faith, and then you put them out or you let them leave, you would still be required to have the meal together.
First child, if they're going to stay, you have to cut the end of their dick off.
Is that, yeah, that's what, yeah, I'm not doing that. I don't have one, I'm not doing it to myself, and I don't expect anyone around me to do it either, and everyone would have it.
Yeah, but that's a good question, Bob. What about the circumcision? Probe
it's
that.
The circumcision of the heart.
How
that's a
that
major
translate?
Mistake by the Jews. They misinterpreted that one. As that's pretty wild, different interpretation, right?
They missed most of it. It wasn't about that. It was about a ridiculous way to lay out a story so you would remember it. It's kind of like singing Happy Birthday will tell you how long you should wash your hands. It's ridiculous, but it tells you how long to wash your hands. Bob does it all day, every day, every day. So, but, yes. Yeah.
So the circumcision refers to the heart, not the penis. It was a literalization of misinterpretation?
Well, no, they both apply. They connect. That's where you come together, is in the organs. That ephemeral artery is pretty well connected.
They're both pumps. The heart is a pump. The penis is a pump.
Mm-hmm. Dude.
But the vagina moves in a similar way in orgasm. It expands, it contracts. I'm just wondering how come it was that the poor guys got to have their dicks chopped off.
The reason to do that as a child is to show them it's different, that they were God's chosen, that they came forth, that that was coming back too, so that they would be separate, okay? And the separation is so they wouldn't be mingled with the others, because you got to remember, they had the bones of Joseph in a box, the actual, that was the last DNA represented on that planet or that realm of pure 144,000 DNA is in those bones. So they had to bring those bones out.
Is it similar to how in other cultures circumcision is used?
To create tribal identity.
It isn't very synchronistic to us. So we'd say no, but it's possible, but we'd say no.
It's all a visual bias.
Well, it would be visual bias, or you would never recognize it.
So, Ion, you're saying that the whole Seder dinner, the foods involved, are symbolic of the chemical processes that goes on inside each cell?
You have to ask Dr. Dean.
Well, the Seder was about the arrangement of the food and the order, so wouldn't that be symbolic of the arrangement of the DNA?
Yes.
That Ion referenced not just the plate, but the other foods and the wine, the matzo ball soup, the chicken soup, those, all of the different foods.
Yes, that's exactly right. And then what happens is you start finding out that this is a shift. So the shift that comes in, once you start having RNA, new information in your cells, then you have this Passover and the blood moon and the body, 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 body. Then what happens is you start knowing this is the click, the set point, that part of, okay, we were drawing bobs earlier. You have a process of drawing a bass, yes?
Yes.
This is the part where you start to ease into the very warm water. It's almost too hot, but you want it so hot, it's like hot cocoa. It's only good when it's too hot to drink. Once you can drink it, it's not good anymore. It's only good when it's just too hot. Just burn your mouth off. That's when it's the best. Well, this is that process. You've been developing your bodies to this process of ascension. It's different than a little man's tank. It's something that you remember. It's something that you embrace, but you don't do it. You're afraid of it. You're not afraid of it. You're spooked by it. You want it. You want the part that will kill you and then back it off just a little bit. You want to get all over it, all over it. Then you go, oh, but I'm scared. Oh, I want this, but what about those damn lampstands? Oh, no, I've got to figure out the lampstands. I just better hang on one more day. Oh, I've got a diagram and sense. Just go through it, whatever they should be right one more time. Just go through it one more time. That damn diagram, we hadn't even got all those 14 degrees of pitch and yaw and moving, and we haven't figured out what's between the third and the fourth ring, and there's those whole vexing positions that we got to run into that we haven't bumped into yet. We got all this stuff we got to figure out before ascension is sure. And we say, those are the things that will get you to the place where you can find the answers as it's occurring. You're not waiting. You're moving on at this stage. And actually, you're doing marvelously well, but we just tippy-toe because we don't want to give you the big head because you already got the penis envy going on already. who's going to be the most God, which we think is just delightful. If y'all keep going, we're going to call Gozer the Gozerian and let them sort it out.
Ghostbusters.
Are you a God? Then don't fuck with us. I'm a God.
And the blood moon is significant because of the timing of it or because of the atmosphere, where the atmosphere is at right now.
There is no difference. Bob and Aikido have got purple jazzed up enough to Fukushima. It's doing pretty good with Los Alamos and Nebraska. They're doing pretty good. They're pumping it out, all out, full out. And there's two little places down in Mexico. They're helping us out, too. And they're just grinding that pup. Hydrogen everywhere, and not a stick with the spot.
And this is a window where you say that a lot of people can reset and be ascended, but a lot of people will choose not to or will. But I thought anyone can ascend at any time.
They do. But you all are hung up on bread of living water, bread of life, living water, shoe bread and axiom water and RNA drops and the other stuff. So you must make it be about that. So we will. No problem. We don't mind. See, y'all set the rules. You already set the rules. Y'all did when you left. It's like, take this out of the freezer and let it thaw, put it in the oven, do this. We didn't make the rules. Y'all did.
Is this a carryover from trying to do it right?
No.
I feel like it might be superstitious. It's almost scary. I feel like if I don't do it exactly right, I'll be brain dead again.
If you're already brain dead, how would you know?
I would start over, and then I get to a point again where I go, oh, I'm starting to re-remember again, and I just want that to stop.
John Imus does that every day of his life. Don't worry.
Is it simply, Ion, an incorporation of rules again that our mind is in the way?
No, it's not rules. It is not rules. That's just a menu. Menu is a rule. It's just laying it out. This is what you do. It's coming. Soon you'll have the position where you'll enjoy the bread of life. Soon living water will be made available.
Oh. I was just going to ask, this is a setup. This is setting it up for everything to be in place.
A blue, orange moon.
Because our bodies wouldn't have been able to handle it. I've heard it said several times that we wouldn't be able to handle it without the RNA. So then,
y'all ain't even doing a real good job of handling the RNA.
No, I'm right. Exactly.
We've had to go through a ton of generations just to get it dumbed down enough so you could catch on. It's ridiculous.
Well, the other day I walked several miles with a lot of weight on me, and it was great. It felt wonderful. I had an umbrella. I was using it like a hobo carrying some of the bags, but I know that's amazing. But while I was doing that, I was listening to the Bob Fest, and I heard Bob talking about someone getting in a car wreck and recovering so fast, and he was questioning, was it the drop? Let the body just kind of pass through that. And it made sense that it's starting to click.
Good, good, good. If it clicks too hard, just rub a little Renew on it. It'll be great.
The car accident was Roseanne's experience.
We know you weren't uncovering Lazarus, Bob.
Ion, Exodus 12 then happened after Exodus 40? No, before. We're going backwards in the Bible.
Oh, yeah, good point, good point. Right, yeah,
The journey of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. That's happening in verse, what's the other verse?
I'm talking about chapter 40 in Exodus. Comparing this to chapter 40. Because chapter 40, Ion said, was where we separated ourselves from our power. So
right.
In chapter 12, we are not separated.
Yes, you are. This is how you're getting back. You are separate. This is what you'll use to get yourself back.
But she raised a good point, Ian. Do you go backwards in a chapter, like from verse 40 to 1?
Typically, no, you don't. Remember Revelation, we started front to back, and that's the first book. It runs straight forward, but it's not upside down backwards, or do it from a mirrored image.
Books that are reversed.
Correct, but not always, because Ezekiel gets tangled up, and Daniel is way messed up. Jenny Bell is very good. She can break it down from major and minors all the way up through the Maccabees, where the other things that are included, that would say, wait a second, this is literal as it goes. There are hiccups where it actually stops because there's no time. So we give it front to back just to give you a progressional order. But there's not a set, dried line. It's word for word in reverse. So if you read the Bible in reverse backward, then you get something. This isn't a Santana record.
Now, Ion, you said recently or somewhere that Ezekiel is the most important book in the Bible. Is that accurate? Wait, more important than Genesis? Genesis?
Much more. Much more. Genesis is the done part. Ezekiel, that's the sweet bye-bye. Ezekiel's the dirty here now.
That's 122. That's Dobbstown. That's why it's the most important book.
Ezekiel 122, isn't that the sixth body that was referred to as
the terrible
body?
It's a terrible crystal, Deborah. You know that.
There's shoe bread, and there's a lot of stuff in Ezekiel.
Everything's in there. All the Dobbstown products. You laugh.
So now there's a new fax and click and pull order form for Dobbstown. The orders in the Dobbstown for click and pull.
Ezekiel. I'm claiming that chapter.
Bob's Wholesale Money Club. There you go.
The Ezekiel Quadrant.
The Ezekiel Quadrant.
Anthropomorphic physical all the way.
So back to the comparison between chapter 12, Exodus, and 40. Chapter 40 and chapter 12, because you had said chapter 40 was also the way that was the separation. So if we looked at that closely, we can then see how we can go back. Is this a parallel?
You lay the two up verse for verse and line them off. And then when you get to that point, but see, for the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So if you laid them out end to end, verse to verse, and did them across, it would be very intriguing.
There would be parallels, wouldn't there?
We've been vehement about the cloud, and we've been working. You're very welcome, you gods. We've been working very hard to get the cloud ready in time. Because y'all have this cloud of glory that we've been tooting about forever, and it's not half ready. You don't have near all the information from other worlds and other slippage that we've got to get firmed up so y'all can have access. Because as you cease thinking, something has to do the thinking for you. Well, that'll
be hey, Ion. Go ahead, Ion. Carry on with your paragraph.
And he put the candlestick in the tent of the congregation over against the table on the side of the tabernacle southward. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord as the Lord commanded Moses. And he put the golden altar in the tent of the congregation before the veil. And he burnt sweet incense therein as the Lord commanded Moses. And he set up the hanging at the door on the tabernacle. And he put the altar of the burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering, protein, as the Lord commanded Moses, amino acids. And he set the laver between the tent and the congregation and the altar and put axiom water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and feet thereon, and they rubbed renew all over their little naked bodies. And when they went to the tent of the congregation, when they came near unto the altar, they washed again, as the Lord commanded Moses, because he was a filthy little Hebrew. And he neared up the cord around the tabernacle of the altar and set up the hanging of the court gate. A lot of courts need to be hung. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode therein, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It was a hell of a smoke monster, Bob.
What chapter is this you're doing?
40.
The tabernacle is your body, correct?
Yeah.
Well, that depends.